This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Good evening. Today is Wednesday, April 17th. This is Heather Kinney reading USA Today Hour 3. That includes our local TV listings for this evening, our Cincinnati Inquirer obituaries, and the life section of USA Today. We'll begin this evening with our TV listings for Wednesday. Beginning at 8 p.m. Wednesday night, WLWT NBC Local 5, it's Chicago Med. At 9 p.m. on Channel 5, Chicago Fire. At 10 p.m. on Channel 5, it's Chicago PD. 11 o'clock, we'll have the Channel 5 News, followed by The Tonight Show. 8 p.m. on WCPO ABC Local Channel 9, it's The Conners, followed by Not Dead Yet. At 9 on 9, it's Abbott Elementary, followed by $100,000 Pyramid from 9:30 until 11. At 11, we'll watch the local Channel 9 News, followed by Jimmy Kimmel Live. 8 p.m. on WKRC-CBS Local 12 from 8 until 9:30, it is Survivor. At 9:30, it is The Amazing Race. And that will run until 11. At 11, of course, it's the local Channel 12 News, followed by The Late Show. 8 p.m. on WXIX Fox Local 19, it is The Masked Singer. At 9, Animal Control. 9:30 on Fox 19 is Family Guy, followed by the Fox 19 Now at 10 News, then the Now at 11 News. And 8 o'clock, WCET, PBS Local 48, it's Nature, Raptors. At 9, A Brief History of the Future. At 10 on PBS 48, it's Nova. And at 11, PBS 48, it's Amanpour & Company. That concludes our TV listings. I'll now move to the local Cincinnati Inquirer obituaries as listed in today's newspaper, Wednesday, April 17th. Virginia Jenny Baker, aged 94, of Milford, died on April 14th. Arrangements with Evans Funeral Home. Services to be held April 18th at 1 p.m. at the Mount Carmel Christian Church. Terry Chinn, C-H-I-N-N, 67, of Corinth, Kentucky, passed on April 9th. Services with Arlington Memorial Gardens Funeral Home. No further information is listed. Arson F. DeBord, 97, of Walnut Grove, Kentucky, passed away on April the 12th. Arrangements with Mahovic Rosenacker. Visitation and services held Thursday, April the 18th at Mahovic Rosenacker. Visitation beginning at 10 a.m. Funeral service at 11. Josephine Angelina DeLahunty, age 90, of Walton, died on April 13th. Arrangements with Stiff Funeral Home, and there is no further information listed. Ronald Gleason, 76, of Amelia, died on 13 of April. Arrangements with E.C. Neuer. Services to be held April 18th at 11 a.m. Immaculate Heart of Mary Church. Internment at Mount Moriah. Beverly Ann Hamilton, 75, of Florence, passed on April the 12th, Middendorf Bullock of Erlanger. Services April 19th at 11 a.m. at the Middendorf Bullock Erlanger location. Edward H. Miller, M.D., aged 88, of Cincinnati, died on April 14th. Arrangements with Spring Grove Funeral Homes. Services to be held April 20th at 2 p.m. at the Spring Grove Cemetery. Sherry Lynn Augie, O-G-G-Y, 69, of Carrollton, Kentucky, died on April the 14th. There is no further information listed regarding services. Charlotte Sidler, 97, of Cincinnati, died on 11 of April. Arrangements with newcomer, no further information. Albert Talarigo, Albert Talarigo, T-A-L-L-A-R-I-G-O, 85, of Milford, died on the 11th of April. Arrangements by John H. Evans. Services to be held April 22nd, 11 a.m. at All Saints Catholic Church. Joan E. Wolf, 91, of Anderson Township. Joan passed on April 14. Arrangements T.P. White & Sons Funeral Home. Services to be held April 19th at 11 a.m. at the St. Cecilia Church. John D. Woolidge III, age 90, of Cincinnati, passed on 8 of April. Services with Gilligan Funeral Homes. And a visitation will be held Friday, April 26th at Good Shepherd Church at 11 a.m., followed by a memorial service. Michael Wuest, W-U-E-S-T, 76, of Latonia, died on April 10th. Swindler and Curran Funeral Home, Latonia. Services April 19th at noon at the Calvary Baptist Church of Latonia. That concludes the listings as printed in today's newspaper on this Wednesday, April 17th. And now we move over to the life section of USA Today. We'll begin with the Lifeline, making waves, CNN's King Charles ends. Gail King and Charles Barkley's primetime TV show, talk show, King Charles has abdicated the throne. The limited-run CNN program ended last week after 6 months. The hosts announced in its final episode on Thursday, "Gail and I tell people, you're the best," Barkley said, with King returning his sentiments. "I will say this. I have loved working with you, and something tells me, Charles, this will not be the last time that we're working together," she said. And if it's your birthday today, you celebrate in good company. Jennifer Garner is 52, Victoria Beckham is 50, and Tammy Roman is 54. It's now time to move over to our horoscopes, sponsored by Sanctuary. You can always find more information at www.sanctuaryworld.com. Aries, March 21 through April 19. How do you present yourself? A new aesthetic may be calling to you. Be bold. Freshen up your look. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. Reflect on the level of love you give yourself. Do you show compassion or act in accordance with self-worth? Gemini, May 21 through June 21. An impromptu meeting may bring a well-timed connection into your life. Is this serendipity? Cancer, June 22 through July 22. Publicity looks good on you. Put on your best face and show the world what you've been working on. Leo, July 23 through August 22. The desire to explore is strong. Called to a place you've never been, or to take on a spiritual quest? Virgo, April 23 to September 22. Take a chance on intimacy. Venus joining the North Node encourages you to express your vulnerability in bold new ways. Libra, September 23rd through October 23rd. Relationships are venturing into new territory. How can you come together and still get your desires met? Scorpio, October 24 through November 21. Passion is crucial to fulfilling work. Venus conjoining the North Node lights that fire. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. Happiness is knocking. Will you answer? A new chapter of passion and creativity opens as Venus meets the North Node. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. Home is where the heart is. Does the foundation you've built for yourself light you up? New inspirations beckon. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. What's your love language? How you communicate and receive love may change as Venus conjoins in the North Node. And Pisces, February 19 through March 20. Venus merging with the North Node invites you to align your energy with what holds worth. Now we move on over to our first major article of the evening. It's under the category of celebrities. This article titled, Little House at 50 Still Gets Big Love for Gilbert. This article is written by Laura Trujillo of USA Today. Simi Valley, California. Maybe you are a Laura, too. If so, you are probably between the ages of 40 and 70, and your name is actually more likely Lisa or Michelle, Susan or Debbie, unless you are me, in which case you really are a Laura. And if so, Laura Ingalls shaped your life in a way that's hard to articulate, but easy to feel. Maybe it was partly from the Little House series your mom read to you in bed each night, but more likely it was from Melissa Gilbert on NBC's TV series Little House on the Prairie. She was Laura, the girl we wanted to be and the best friend we needed. The TV character was inspired by the books, but was not true to them. The show needed more drama. Even in 1974, to hold your attention, especially when it took Pa an entire chapter to build a door. Laura was mischievous. She stood up for herself. She wanted to make the right choice, but she struggled with temptation, jealousy, and doing the right thing. It was part of her appeal. She wasn't perfect, but she always got to the right thing. I was the 5-year-old girl who asked for pigtail braids and calico dresses, fishing poles and black boots. My mom obliged, and I went to kindergarten the next fall in a long blue and white floral dress she sewed with short sleeves, a compromise because the first day of school in Phoenix was 102 degrees. My mom embroidered a silhouette of Laura Ingalls on my denim school bag. So this is how I find myself now, here with Gilbert, nearly 50 years after The Little House premiered, standing in front of a replica of the set of The Little House, which was a replica of the real house in Walnut Grove, Minnesota, in the 1800s. The replica now sits here in Rancho Santa Susana Park, just a few miles from where the show was filmed between 1974 and 1983. You can see the green hills from here, and if you squint, the trees of Big Sky Ranch, surrounded by houses that stretch through canyons and across freeways to where the Kardashians now live. But now, we are Ma's age from the show, or older. And at 59, Melissa Gilbert is somehow our mom's age too, but also our age, or younger, in a weird space-time continuum that exists at the Little House on the Prairie 50th anniversary cast reunion and festival on this sunny weekend day in March. And for a moment, we are back in an America with just three TV channels and a slow-paced show that took us back to even simpler times, every Monday evening for 1 hour. There are more than 18,000 people here for Laura. But this is not a festival for the women who call themselves bonnet heads and travel to one of seven official home sites. Nor are they hardcore Laura Ingalls Wilder fans who attend Laurapalooza, an academic conference dedicated to the pioneer author and who hate the show for its historical inaccuracies. This is for the rest of us who preferred the TV show, who would much rather have an episode inspired by Laura that allowed her to push Nellie down a hill in a wheelchair because we all knew Nellie was faking her paralysis the whole time. We are grown women now and can both admire the show and not get lost in whether Laura really wrote the books or if her daughter, Rose Wilder, did. We don't want to take away book awards because the portrayal of indigenous people in the 1800s isn't the same as ours is now. In the pilot episode, in which a Greek actor plays an indigenous man, Pa tries to become friends. We are here to remember that little girl and ourselves. 300+ people back, past the booth selling Olson's Mercantile canvas tote bags for $30 and wood cutouts of the little house for $250, and past the old town square tent where Allison Arnegrim, who played Nellie, is sharing a story about her TV brother, waits Angela Hernandez. She is wearing a shirt that says WWCD. What would Charles do? With an image of a bare-chested Michael Landon as Charles Ingalls. She wanted a bonnet, but the Modern Prairie booth had sold out that morning at $24.50 each. She stands behind a woman wearing a full-length calico dress and Doc Martens, and in front of a woman with a fake crow on her head. In parentheses, it says IYKYK, end parentheses. In many ways, it feels like grown-up Swifties trading friendship bracelets in muted prairie colors, holding spots for each other in line, sharing tips on where the shaved ice is, and swapping stories about the show. She wasn't just part of my childhood. She was my childhood, says Hernandez, who was belatedly celebrating her 60th birthday at the festival on a trip from Dallas, and brought a copy of Gilbert's first memoir, Prairie Tale. I didn't have the best family life. I pretended Pa was my dad, that this was my family, and every Monday, they were there. While the event crowd is mostly white and skews to the middle-aged among us, there are enough women in their 20s and dressed-up kids, as well as men, to allow you to see it as a swath of America, one that's traveled here from Ohio and New York City, Northern California, and Florida. Many proclaim their devotion to Jesus on their t-shirts. Others identify as modern-day homesteaders, raising chickens in their backyards, learning to can and sew, and wearing t-shirts that say vote for women. They paid $45 a day, or $200 as a VIP. They did receive a turkey and mashed potato lunch and a commemorative poster for access to meet and greets and panels. A bus tour of Big Sky Ranch was $75. Selfies and autographs ranged from $10 to $75. They talk about good people and morals, consumerism, and getting back to simpler times. This is a show that Common Sense Media praised, calling the Ingalls family a model of mutual respect and affection. But these fans never left the prairie. They have the DVDs and stream the show while they work out, sew, or cook dinner. So they also know that while the show was seen as wholesome and sweet and filled with love and grit, it was dark. In one season, Walnut Grove dealt with a plague, infant mortality, the loss of parents, poverty, racism, and fires. In a tent, a big screen plays episode after episode, running from one season into another. And here we are with Lord is My Shepherd. The two-hour 1974 episode, Gilbert says, is her favorite, where Laura wrestles with envy, faith, and forgiveness. Some fans gather in the tent for shade, but find themselves crying along with the shows. Gilbert is sitting at a folding table inside a community center. There is a blue tape marking a line that is too deep. Snakes to the door and stretches through the park to a five-hour wait. Fans wearing bonnets and calico, bonnets and jeans, want photos with her. They tell her, "We love you." Sometimes they forget and yell, "Laura." Gilbert laughs. I answer to all of them. She's wearing a cream dress with small roses and lace, pantaloons with boots that look like they belong on the prairie. Her high cheekbones and gray curly hair pulled up reveal she is even prettier than she was 10 years ago. Little House on the Prairie crosses all borders. Everybody can kind of take ownership of it, whether you're a politically right or left person, she says. The conservative movement in this country considers Little House on the Prairie their show. And there's the liberal movement that considers it their show because we were telling the stories of the 1970s, which, unfortunately, are the stories today, about women's rights and voting rights and all of those things. Mary Ann Vanderberg waits in line to meet Gilbert. Her husband of 37 years sent her from Riverton, Utah. Wearing jeans and a black 90s-inspired black t-shirt with three images of Charles Ingalls that reads, "Pa," she says she watched Little House every week growing up. She shared the show with her five kids, but confesses only her three daughters enjoyed it. Now she watches Little House Mondays through Saturdays while she exercises. "It's my reward," says Vanderberg, aged 56. "It starts my day in a good way and makes me feel connected." Like many women, she's nervous about meeting Gilbert, who both helped shape and affected an entire generation of women. What do I say to her? How do I act? Heck, how do I even stand, she says. Okay, I'll shake her hand. No, that might be too personal for her. I don't know what to do. Women hold scrapbooks. Some of them made them as children and can select one of the 23 8x10 photos of Gilbert to be autographed. The most popular pictures, a young Gilbert in a red dress with Jack, a dog that looks suspiciously like a tan and white Bernedoodle. Gilbert signs copies of her 2022 memoir, Back to the Prairie, for some fans, and also signs Little House in the Big Woods, a book she did not write. Not that these fans care. To them, she is Laura. We were all Laura's. Almost every woman at the event shares the same story. She wanted to be Laura. She wanted to be best friends with Laura. She played Little House and would pretend to be Laura, and siblings had to be Nellie or Mary or the younger ones, Willie. I've loved Laura since I was 6, says Deborah Mendez from Discovery, California. I wanted to live in Walnut Grove. Her two daughters, who accompanied her on the trip from Northern California, have the puzzled look as they stare at their mom. The look that says, you are realizing your mom is a person, not just your mom. She's so happy, Skylar Mendez, age 21, says. She's making me cry. Mendez reaches the table and pays for a photo to be taken with Gilbert. We just love you so much, she says through tears. I feel like I was invited to Laura's house. Gilbert wraps her arms around the girls and their mom and smiles. A few minutes later, Mendez looks at her signed photo. I feel like I just met my best friend, Mendez says, capturing a feeling among many women here. I wish I could have said something better, something different, so Melissa knows how I feel. But it's more than memories of her childhood. Mendez says her love of Laura and Gilbert endures. I love how she's doing now. She's aging so gracefully, so naturally, she says. She's beautiful, and she hasn't had an easy life, but here she is, and I love everything about her. Gilbert rides in a golf cart from the autograph table to a stage where she shares stories. She is tired. She had neck surgery to fix pain from a broken back she had years back. She curses quietly and laughs and says no one could hear Laura say that. But she is lifted by the energy and eagerness that still sometimes surprises her. That 50 years later, in a country where we pay monthly subscription fees to watch hundreds of niche shows from multiple streaming services, where we hire parenting coaches and go to camps to learn how to be pioneers, where even Barbie has become complicated. It may surprise some that a sweet, simple show about growing up on the prairie has never lost its fan base, even with those who still watch it on VHS tapes. The thing that moves me the most is when people tell me the stories of how Little House on the Prairie impacted their lives, what their childhoods were like, and why it was so important to them, she says. A lot of people have said, and I'm sure will continue to say to me, look, you were my escape from a bad childhood. We taught a lot of lessons and provided a lot of escapist entertainment. I turned 4 the week after the pilot episode aired in 1974, which is one of my first memories. Of Laura's excitement for the new house Pa built, of how dark and big the prairie felt. I wonder if I remember this from watching it that first time, or from after-school reruns when I watched while my mom worked the night shift as a nurse. Little House premiered alongside several other shows in 1974, including Chico and the Man and The Rockford Files. Yet it is one of the few shows that could draw a crowd today, 50 years later, with a character women still love. But there was a time when Gilbert didn't feel like a Laura. And after 9 seasons, as she grew from a pigtailed 9-year-old to an 18-year-old who played a wife and mom, Gilbert wanted an escape from the calico, the bonnets, the foxtails that stuck in Jack's coat and her wool stockings. Much of her adult life, in some ways, Gilbert ran from Laura. When she finished Little House, she dated and got engaged to Rob Lowe. They later broke up. She got married and had her first son, Dakota, and got divorced. Then she got married again and had another son, Michael. My marriage ended and I was going through a lot, she says. I was really curious about what was next. What were the choices I was going to make? I'm going to do what's better for me than what I've done up until now. I was trying to figure this out. I'd had missteps, she says. I dated a guy that wasn't good for me. I was doing things that made me miserable. She acted in the 1983 TV movie Choices of the Heart, voiced Batgirl, played Ma in the traveling musical adaptation of Little House, and was president of the Screen Actors Guild. She competed on ABC's Dancing with the Stars in 2012 and tried so hard to continue to look like she thought that she should. She was 46. She had her nose shaped, breast implants, fillers, and Botox. As I started to age, my body started to change. My face started to change. I started to feel uncomfortable and doubt myself. And then it became harder to stay young. And then it became an uphill battle, and I really wanted to find a place where I could just relax and enjoy my life, she says. It was also a time when she started accepting that growing older was just part of life, not something to fight, and that maybe being defined by strangers as the role you played for a very specific period of your life isn't so bad. She met the man who would become her third husband, actor Timothy Busfield. She reconnected with the prairie in some ways. She and Busfield, aged 66, bought and renovated a hunting cabin. Her sons and stepchildren are in their 20s and 30s, and she has 9 grandchildren. With friend Nicole Haas, she co-founded Modern Prairie, a brand that sells prairie-inspired clothes, even bonnets, pie carriers, and quilts and linens. But it's also a place to connect. The app offers workshops and classes on topics from grief to felting. We created a safe space for women over 50 to share themselves and what they're going through, whether it's hormonal changes or life changes, she says, and providing a community where these women can support each other as we age gratefully. So we walk between the autograph session and the photo station, and later past the Modern Prairie booth where she meets some of her fans. They again tell her how they grew up with her. I wanted to tell her how I looked forward to Mondays, that my parents told my older sister and me they were getting a divorce on a Sunday night, and all I could think about and do was wait until Monday to feel safe and secure with the little house. How my mom named me Laura after Laura Ingalls Wilder, about the floral long dress and the school bag, how I'm recently divorced and my youngest of 4 is headed to college, that I want to also make changes to be better, that I worry too much about my wrinkles. Instead, I'm quiet and listen as others tell her this, almost to a script. Gilbert recognizes this in women, their almost impossible need to tell her about their lives, to thank her. But sometimes, instead, they just burst into tears and can't say anything, and now worry the photo they want to take with her will be ruined. She waits for them, sometimes makes them laugh. In some ways, she doesn't say much. She knows that many women are trying to find this part, this inner Laura. That after a divorce, or even just being an empty nester, they wonder where that spunky girl is. I think of all the qualities that we can have to maintain that sort of youthful wonder. Curiosity is the most important. Curiosity is what keeps us open and vibrant and learning and trying, she says. Laura was curious about the world, about everything. Gilbert stops for a moment, thinking about all the women who are still searching. She wants to tell them something. She never left, Gilbert says. Laura is in every woman. She is that thing that makes you you. Are you a Laura? A real Laura? Send me a note and tell me about how Melissa Gilbert and Little House shaped who you are today. You can send this to LTRUJILLO@USAtoday.com. This next article is under the category Streaming Preview, titled Under the Bridge Has Good Intentions Undermined by True Crime Cliches. This written by Kelly Lawler of USA Today. The kids are definitely not all right. In Hulu's Under the Bridge, based on the 2005 true crime novel by Rebecca Godfrey, the innocence of childhood is lost amid violence, lies, and tragedy. It's the story of Rena Virk. She's a 14-year-old Canadian girl who was murdered in 1997 by her peers, and a harrowing narrative of children hurting each other, committing the ultimate act of cruelty and bloodshed for reasons we'll never really know. In its heavily fictionalized retelling, Under the Bridge, streaming on Thursdays with only 2 out of 4 stars, starts as an emotional, affecting drama that avoids most of the cliches of true crime. But it slowly falls apart in a second half that raises more questions than it answers and opens too many new threads while leaving most of them hanging. While its 8 episodes are clearly aiming for lofty, vital storytelling, it's only the first 4 that manage to move you. And it's a shame because so much of this story demands to be heard. Rena, played by Virtika Gupta, is an angst-ridden, troubled teenager who doesn't fit in near her British Columbia town and hates her Jehovah's Witness mother, Suman, played by Archie Panjabi. Drawn to a group of LA street gang-obsessed girls, Rena eventually winds up at an unfriendly party, where she is assaulted by a group of teens under a bridge. But while she walks away from that beating, her murdered body is eventually found days later. Unraveling her case is Cam Bentland, played by Lily Gladstone, a cop who immediately suspects Rena's so-called friends, Josephine, played by Chloe Goodry, Dusty, played by Ayanna Goodfellow, and Kelly, played by Izzy G. Writer Rebecca, played by Riley Keough, is also investigating, trying to befriend the teens to learn their secrets, and eventually is drawn to homeless teen Warren, played by Javon Juana Walton, whose involvement in Rena's death isn't initially clear. Told out of chronological order, a device in TV drama that has crossed the line from trend to tired trope, Bridge tells the story of the murder on multiple fronts. There's Cam and Rebecca, old friends who often are at odds as they're drawn to prosecute and protect different actors in the case. The teens after Rena's death, closing ranks and living in various states of denial and guilt, and Rena, in flashbacks, who's ostracized because of race or body type or both. Although Gladstone and Kyo are competent and appealing, Cam and Rebecca are the least interesting characters in the story, and when you know the facts of the real case, it's easy to see why. Cam is a composite character representing all of law enforcement, and the real Rebecca was not actively involved in the case as it happened. Both women feel tacked on to the better, meatier story about the capacity of violence in kids. Despite the tantalizing question of why 15-year-olds would commit such a heinous crime, it's impossible to discover what the show is trying to say about adolescence or violence or race. The scripts of creator Quinn Shepard of Not Okay feel half-formed. Warren is severely underdeveloped at the start, even as he becomes a pivotal character by the end. Cam and Rebecca have tragic backstories with little connection to their actions in the present. All the fault lines start to appear as the series moves into its second half. Whether hampered by the balancing act between fictionalization and the real crime, or by the quest to find a good ending to a story, the writers crafted four final episodes that are distinctly less engrossing, lack depth, and reveal weaker characters and performances. True crime is a crowded genre with so many cookie-cutter stories exploiting tragedies for voyeuristic films and series. To its credit, Bridge does its best to honor Rena and crafts a compelling story when it focuses more on her than her killers. But that's not enough to make up for the tackier, aimless later episodes. As the title cards in the final moments reveal what happened to all the people involved in Rena's death, we're reminded we don't always get a perfect ending to our stories in real life. But that doesn't always happen in fictional versions of them either. And this next and last article of the evening for USA Today Life is under the category of music. It's titled, Dana Embraces Darkness in Order to Find Herself. This article written by Edward Segarra of USA Today. Dana has mastered the art of playing a role, so now she's flipping the script. Born Dana Paola Rivera Munguia, the Mexican pop singer who recently shortened her stage name from Dana Paola to Dana, entered show business at age 5. She cut her teeth as an actress with wholesome roles in the youth telenovela Maria Belén and Pablo y Andrea and Atrévete a Soñar, among others. Dana's star rose into adulthood with leading roles in the Spanish language dramas La Doña and Netflix's Elite. But after 2 decades of bringing characters to life, Dana quit acting in 2020. Having released a series of pop albums from ages 6 to 25, Dana committed to a full-time music career. Her newest album, titled Child Star, is out now, finds the 28-year-old singer reconciling her unique upbringing with a search for self-identity. Building myself through characters all the time and through different personalities was really crazy. So that's why I think I started molding myself based on many personalities, Dana tells USA Today in an interview conducted in both English and Spanish. And in therapy, I understood that there were things that were really messed up and that didn't allow me to be my most authentic person. So for this album, I made my peace with that. But for those expecting a cynical album after the pitfalls of fame, think again. The 13-track LP is largely a collection of cathartic dance pop in which Dana combs through the kaleidoscope of life experiences that have placed her at the center of her own story. I found myself as an artist. I found my voice, my way to produce my music, how I want to write my own songs, Dana says. It's a beautiful journey. But at the same time, it has been really hard and emotional. A face smudged with jet black tears. A fishnet clad devil trashing a dressing room. Bodies writhing in a strobe light filled nightclub. Unlike the bright spotlight of child stardom, the video imagery for Child Star is moody and gritty, which Dana says is a tribute to her battle with depression. I wanted to deconstruct the image people had about me in this pink perfect world and this sweetie thing with this aesthetic, Dana says. This darkness is what made me find myself as an artist. And if it wasn't for that depression and the hole I was living in, I wouldn't have discovered myself. Dana also channels that darkness on the album's opening track, titled The Fall, a ballad in which the singer accepts her inner turmoil, but vows to rise above the pain, a lesson she has learned from living in the public eye. You're going to see me fall thousands of times, because I'm not perfect, but I'm going to make art and music from it, she says. I'm a human being, and I make mistakes, too, every day, public or not. I don't want to be perfect. I just want to learn about life. I think that's something that's given me a lot of peace today. Dana's final acting role before diving back into music was Lou Montesino's, a sharp-tongued schoolgirl on the teen crime thriller Elite. Dana, who won a Premios Juventud Award for her performance, said she ultimately left acting because she was tired of being someone else instead of discovering myself. As an actress, I enjoyed so much being in another skin and another world in my mind, and I became that person. It takes a lot to detach myself from a character after 3, 4, 6 months. Lucretia, which was my last character, really left particles of her DNA in me. But Dana hasn't left the dramatic art form completely behind. The singer, who performed an emotional monologue for the Child Star trailer, said she has been able to fuse the heightened emotion of acting with the unrestricted self-expression she has found in music. I think that I'm feeling free making music, Dana says. It's not because I hate acting, but it was a comfort zone just being an actress and not believing in myself as an artist and as a singer. I love singing, and I love interpreting a song, and really feeling what I wrote is important to me. On Tenemos Que Hablar, one of the songs that rounds out Child Star, Dana takes a sobering look at a relationship that has crumbled in the wake of the singer's newfound independence. Today, my happiness doesn't depend on anyone, she sings. In the end, happiness is a choice. It's a thing that you have to create in your life every day, Dana says. When we put our happiness in others and depend on them, we limit ourselves to create our own magic, our own world, and our own way of viewing life. Part of Dana's happiness today comes from her renewed creativity. In every inch of this album is my DNA, so that's what I'm really, really proud of. Because for me, now is the first time where I'm really comfortable with all the things I'm saying, with my music, with the way I dress, with my sexuality. I'm empowered. And that was the final article, and this is the conclusion of USA Today Hour 3 on this Wednesday, April 17th. This is Heather Kinney reading for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Thanks for listening.